Welcome to the show, In Plain Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on your Tuesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. It is the YMCA for free speech, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, that's right. Free speech. You can come in with your backpack and get a place to sleep, a nice hot meal, and play some pinochle and maybe table tennis with and make some good buds, and then get right back out there once you've refreshed yourself. Tonight, we have our regular guest. You know this man. You know the caliber of the man that joins me on Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen.
A man who discovered
big guy.
The wheel
not
and
gonna
built
lie.
The Eiffel Tower out of metal. And brawn, that's what kind of man I am.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Yeah! Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers! Holy birthday cake! Holy headache!
Holy ball and chain!
Holy triple feature! Holy slip disc!
Holy triple trial banana court, kangaroo court, Batman, in a banana republic. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. And actually, this is the post office of free speech. And I'm here and I am waiting for my postcard stamps to be printed up. And if they don't get printed any faster than this, I'm going to go postal.
Go postal, I like that. So how about these three trials that we're covering? It's actually kind of it's a respite from having to cover COVID like 24/7. But you got, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, the Charlottesville civil trial, and armed robbery, Ahmaud Arbery. And you know what I was thinking? All three of these trials have a common denominator. It's about intimidation, and it's about intimidating white people to not defend themselves, or to think that if white people defend themselves, that they'll be prosecuted. You know, you think about it, and you know, in Kyle's case, they're doing just ridiculous stuff, coming down on him. The fact that he's charged at all is an act of intimidation. He shouldn't have even been charged at all, but especially with, you know, murder. In all those counts. And then you have the Charlottesville civil trial, and that's a big message of intimidation, saying if white people try to organize in their behalf, that, you know, not only could you get criminally prosecuted, but they could come after you monetarily in a civil trial and try to blame you for things you were miles away from, meaning the accident with James Fields and Heather Heyer. And then you got Ahmaud Arbery again. If white people defend themselves, not only will you get prosecuted, but very prominent black leaders like Reverend Jaime Towne Jackson himself would might show up try to intimidate your jury. So that's kind of the way I see these three trials, maybe in a nutshell. What do you think of that analysis?
Jaime Towne Jackson. Well, Jaime Towne Jackson is he's got Parkinson's. Do you think he'd show up? I kind of don't. Don't think so.
Yeah, he did.
Did he show up?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Jaime Towne Jackson showed up, and then
to the Kyle trial.
No, to the armed robbery.
Oh, because I was going to ask you if he did Jesse see Kyle.
No, Jesse was at the much different trial. No, I was just making the point.
Because really, Jesse should see Kyle.
Well, you would think, because of his complete and just rabid anti-Semitism, right? What was the deal in the 90s?
It was in the 80s. It was Jaime Towne, yeah. Friend of the show, by the way. He was getting ready to go to New York for the New York primary, but he was getting death threats because he had met with Yasser Arafat, and he referred to New York as Jaime Towne. And yeah, he never lived that down, no matter how much groveling he did. But
didn't he have a part also in the '90s before the Crown riots? Wasn't he like spearheading this total anti-Semitic agenda?
Because that was Al Sharpton. Involved in it?
Yes,
I
Al
don't know
Sharp.
If he was involved in that.
No, you're right. It was Al Sharpton in the Crown Heights, and then Jesse Jackson did Hymietown. But both of those guys showed up at Armin Arbery's trial, and they were asked not to. The lawyer asked them not to, and they kept Al Sharpton kept showing up, like he was there today. I covered it last night. The fact that they showed up, and now they showed up again today.
Wow, because Jesse's 81 and he's in bad health, so I'm kind of surprised. I had not seen hair nor hide of him for a while.
Let's see. Yeah, Jesse's right here. It's in the CNN article that I sent you about the trial. Jesse Jackson spent a short time Wednesday in the courthouse's open forum before speaking to the reporters outside alongside Arbery's father. That was the second day in a row that he missed. I covered that last night on the show. But, I mean, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, I mean, when it comes to their relation with the Jews, they could just wear a swastika armbands, couldn't they?
Well, as far as the Jews are concerned, Jesse Jackson was the, out of all the presidential candidates who got into debates in the 1980s, so that doesn't count David Duke because he didn't get into debates, but out of all the ones who got into the debates, he was absolutely the one that the Jews were the most hostile to, whether you like him or not, that's just a fact. I have not been following the armed robbery case so much. The Kyle case, I mean, we're all expecting a good outcome, aren't we? The jury went into deliberation. I've been busy for the past few hours, but on Mike Rivera's show, as of like about 6 hours ago, the jury hadn't released a verdict, right? And is that still the case?
That's true. And I referenced an article here. It's we don't have to go through and read it. I think we're just doing more of a recap. But I think there's two jurors that are still not wanting to make a decision. Now, if he was going to be found guilty, they would have come right out with that. I don't think they would have hesitated. But this tells me that maybe they're afraid. And the intimidation factor did work. There's like black people openly saying, we know where the jury lives, we know who they are. And come on. That's exactly what I was talking about, like the intimidation factor here. It's not just to intimidate the jury, but overall, just white people in general. Like, basically, you can't defend yourself as a group or as an individual. And the whole thing about the case, I mean, they're trying to make the case that since they're claiming that Kyle threatened violence, they're saying that he pointed a gun at someone. And of course, he was joking around. And then they're saying that since he came there to plan violence and to do violence, therefore he's not allowed to defend himself. That's their entire case. So it's all about like what his intent was. It's not about what happened, and it's about intent. Doesn't that sort of remind you of how they treated Trump on the Muslim ban, right? It's not about what you did. It's illegal. It's about what your intent was. What were you thinking? Mm-hmm.
Right. So with the Muslim ban, the letter of the law said that the president has the right to exclude people from countries that he deems to be a terrorist threat or something like that. And he absolutely had the authority to ban people from these six or seven countries. But some judge in Seattle, was it, or in Maryland or Honolulu, I can't remember. Some judge said, well, but he was doing racism, his intent was racist. And so he's not allowed to do racism. So that's what happened. And so with the Kyle thing, I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, trying to say that. I don't know. What can they say? You know, it's often pointed out that the three people he shot were white. At least two of them were Jews, and maybe all three were Jews. Jay from Stormfront's been trying to track that down. But of course, on a, you know, these are people that he only knew when they were attacking him, right? It's not, these aren't people that he had ever met before. It's just like people are violently attacking him, and within a matter of seconds, he winds up shooting them in self-defense. He wouldn't have been able to identify them as Jews, so they can't say that he was doing anti-Semitism at them, because he wouldn't have known the difference. I'm sure he doesn't have such good Judar as, you know.
The media is not even touching that. I've not heard any
because they don't want people to know how Jewish Antifa is.
Right. Which is Jewish and FBI as well, backed and supported by the FBI. I mean, Antifa is really just an arm of the FBI. Just, it enforces the system, the government. Right? I mean, are they not the strong
groups? I don't even know. The rank and file Antifa probably doesn't even realize it, but they are. And Nick Fuentes, what was it, yesterday or the day before yesterday, when he was up in New York, and he had done some real life events in New York, and most of them had gone off without a hitch. But the last one in front of Gracie Mansion, the Antifa did come, and there was a bit of a tense standoff for a little bit. And Nick got on his bullhorn and said, "You guys are Pfizer's bitch." You know, and that's the thing. These people probably don't even understand it for the most part. Maybe, you know, the ones at the top might, but they don't understand that they are the establishment's bitch. They're not revolutionary. They are the bitch for the establishment.
We'll give you a bitch pass on the show. But no, seriously, no, you're right. They're completely sheltered by the establishment. And if you, I mean, and you're talking about like drug dealers, pedophiles, and felons, and if you defend yourself against them, you're the one that's getting charged. You know, you're the one that's going to go to jail. That's the only thing the prosecutor can say is, what was Kyle's intent? Well, he was thinking mean thoughts, or he was planning violence. Apparently, according to Biden, I guess Kyle was thinking white supremacist thoughts, because Biden said he was a raving white supremacist, right? So, but they're getting ridiculous. Some of the ridiculous things that I noticed, a prosecutor, and this Mike Rivera pointed this out, the prosecutor points a weapon that had not been cleared for safety at the jury, points it at the jury. And then he says like stupid stuff like...
Hey, is that jury intimidation? Was that jury intimidation?
I mean, as if it's not enough intimidation, thinking you're going to get beat up by blacks, you know, if you acquit this young man, you get a gun pointed at you, you don't know if it's loaded or not. He didn't know. And then he said, like, something ridiculous, like, oh, he was using full metal jackets, and that's meant to penetrate multiple targets. You know, that's ridiculous.
Honestly, that is meant just to sound like a thing to the jury, simply because there was a movie with that name.
Well, I mean, but really, anyone that knows a little bit about firearms knows the full metal jacket is to preserve the barrel, because the softer jackets will melt and mess up the barrel after time. So a full metal jacket saves your barrel. That's the whole purpose of it. Has nothing to do.
If you get 12 random people, there's no doubt that a lot of people don't know anything about guns, about ammunition. But they do know that there was a famous movie called Full Metal Jacket, and it was an awesome movie, so that this must mean something, or otherwise they wouldn't have named the movie after it.
I mean, who doesn't like the gunny? You know?
I didn't see the movie, so I don't know.
Well, you know who I'm talking about. I don't know the actor's name. I just know him as Gunnery Sergeant.
Was it like Bacon, Kevin Bacon? Was he in that movie? If he wasn't in the movie, he was no more than 6 degrees separated from it.
Oh, Mike said it's Arlie Army is the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. Arlie Army. Yeah, I just thought he played a role. He was like totally hardcore. But
okay,
yeah,
I thought Kevin Bacon, because even if he wasn't in the movie, he couldn't be any more than 6 degrees removed from it.
Probably not. But no, yeah, you're right. They're taking advantage of the jury's ignorance, you know, again, they're being very obvious here. And then you got, let's see, what we haven't, we haven't covered the Charlottesville one yet. I think the only thing new there is they're trying to say now that Kessler misled the police as far as how many people were showing up. So they combed through this guy's Facebook messages, and I mean, you know, they've combed through everything on all these guys online to try to find something. And they're saying that he told people to not tell exactly how many people were going to be there, to withhold that. So even though that's their way of getting around, well, he had a permit, right? Well, he had a permit. Well, how did the prosecution get around? Well, he misled. Oh, mislead. Is that another misleading thing? He had an intent. Did he have an intent, maybe? Sounds like he had an intent.
Well, so again, you know, honestly,
what he did, it was his intent.
So, like I say, and people who listen to my shows know that I'm behind on this. I am trying to follow it. I am behind, but there's an awful lot that's coming out. And one of the things I looked at today is there was the text messages sent between the various plaintiffs, not plaintiffs, various defendants. So between... Yeah. Richard Spencer and Chris Cantwell, between Richard Spencer and Jason Kessler, between, you know, these various text messages. And what you can see is there wasn't a conspiracy. If anything, there was just a whole bunch of backstabbing of each other. And Richard Spencer clearly had like nothing but contempt for Jason Kessler. He thought he was a dork and a nerd or whatever. He didn't, and they thought he was Jewish. He's not Jewish, but they thought he was Jewish. So there was all of this mistrust and backstabbing. And it's also clear that the higher profile people like Spencer, they took control. They took the leadership, and they knew they were taking the leadership away from Jason Kessler. So Jason Kessler was like nominally the organizer, but sometime like in mid-July or so, by that time he really wasn't in control of this. But it's clearly there was no conspiracy there. These people weren't coordinating hardly anything. There was also an interesting exchange between Spencer and somebody else about whether somebody said David Duke would like to show up. And Spencer's like, well, I have nothing against David Duke in particular, but if, what did he say? He said, but if I'm an atom bomb, David Duke is a hydrogen bomb. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by it, but I guess he meant he's, you know, David Duke is even more toxic or more explosive than himself, Richard Spencer. So there was a lot. It's kind of interesting. In some ways, it's kind of sad, but it's hard to imagine how what they're trying to prove, that there was a conspiracy to commit violence. Well, there just wasn't.
Yeah, we'll rub on the break, man. We'll hit that on the other side and conclude with our Charlottesville commentary.
Media. It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me. If you can see the light shine out where you'll be. I'm in a broken room, a stair.
So, a dynamic duo going over the news and the analyzing, doing political science analyzing. My favorite thing to do with my good Bud Patrick on a Tuesday. So we were just finishing up with the Charlottesville thing before the break hit you. You were in mid point. We were just talking about
It's a civil suit. And what they're, so you've got people, I think the plaintiffs are mostly people who were injured in the car accident, in James Fields' car accident. And they are suing the organizers of the rally, saying that they're responsible, that they had been planning violence, and that the car accident was a result of their organization, and therefore... give me all your money, and we'll split like 35% with this Jewish lawyer who gave the America gay marriage. I mean, it's Roberta Kaplan. She was a lawyer who gave us gay marriage too. But, you know, trying to prove that somehow. Okay, so one of the defendants, and this would have been a week ago or so, not the defendants, one of the plaintiffs, who she was injured and Some of the defendants are representing themselves. Spencer and Cantwell are representing themselves, but others have lawyers. And one of the lawyers asked the plaintiff, "Okay, so how did Jason Kessler cause your injury?" And she said, "Well, he gave a speech." And you know, this they're really reaching here. I mean, they're reaching so much. And so, on the one hand, you don't expect a fair trial. But as Don Advo was pointing out today on Stormfront, the jury pool, even though this is taking place in Charlottesville, because it's taking place in like, I guess this is a federal suit and in federal court. And the jury pool is not just coming from Charlottesville. It's not just coming from Albemarle County, but it's coming from a much larger area. So, I mean, you're getting people from rural Virginia who were in the jury pool. And the jury selection apparently actually was much more satisfactory to the defendants than to the plaintiffs. The plaintiffs' lawyers kept striking juror after juror because they'd say, what do you think of Antifa? What did you think of Black Lives Matter? And the juror, prospective juror after prospective juror was saying, oh, I think they're terrorist organizations. And they ran out. They only get like half a dozen strikes, and they ran out of strikes. And so a lot of the jury are people who are from, you know, rural parts of Virginia or wherever, and they think Antifa and Black Lives Matter are terrorist organizations, and that's a jury.
That's got to be disheartening, too, to really, like, come face-to-face with the fact of, like, really understanding what the majority, like, a majority of people think about BLM and Antifa. I mean, that had to come as a slap in the face. Now, that all having been said, and I don't want to be too black-pilling here, I'm just going to point something out. I mean, it looks good for, you know, the acquittal of Rittenhouse. It looks good for the plaintiffs at Charlottesville being able to win this case. I don't know about Abed Armory and the McMichaels trial. But even if all three win, or even if two out of the three win, it still is a bad message that these people are even being brought into court to begin with. I mean, that's sending a terrible message. And even if, you know, Rittenhouse and the Charlottesville defendants win, what's that saying? Well, that's not stopping the system from dragging you into court over any and every little thing, if you defend yourself or whatever. The fact that they can do it and make you waste the time and the money is one of the other intimidations here to white people.
Well, so, yeah. It is, and, you know, we still got the hundreds of people in the D.C. Gitmo. I mean, we're in the hole, and if we can score a few points here and there, then that's good. It's not as if we can really count on the judicial system, to be fair, but to the extent you have a few fair trials, you know, one thing it does do is it draws attention. So a lot of people who had just assumed that maybe Kyle Rittenhouse was, I mean, you have somebody like Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks, who, and her audience is a bunch of, you know, they're kind of semi-mainstream leftists on the Young Turks. You know, that's Chink Wigger's show. And she had originally said, oh, yeah, he's a white supremacist terrorist. And now she's totally backtracked on that.
It is causing awareness. It's people are waking up and looking now. But back on the other side of the break, and we'll wrap this up and move on.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All right, welcome back to Endpoint Thought, Dynamic Duo. And one thing I wanted to mention about these three trials before we move on to international news. When they went, they combed through all of these social medias of the defendants. They looked all through Chris Cantwell's, I guess he did podcasts, and they brought up the fact that he Sieg-hailed James Fields in prison. And I just was making the point that, you know, I always tell everyone to be careful what you say on the air. And I don't want to be intimidated or afraid of these people, certainly not. But just know this, that if anything at all happens, let's say that I'm out, you know, exercising my First Amendment right, and I'm brutally attacked by BLM or Antifa, and especially if my attackers are of color, and I have to whoop out the old Wing Chun, you know, and damage someone, or God forbid, have to use deadly force, and then I get taken to court. I mean, they're going to go back through all of these radio broadcasts, and anything that I said, you know, they're going to pick it apart and use it. And then they're going to try to go up to Burbank and drag you out of the studio and say you were an accomplice. I mean, that's how these people are. I mean, isn't that correct? I mean, that's exactly what they're doing to the Charlottesville defendants.
It is what they're doing to the Charlottesville defendants, and we do have to take it seriously. And at least three of the Charlottesville defendants I've had on my show. I mean, Richard Spencer was on my show. Jason Kessler was on my show a few times. And I had Michael Hill. It was, maybe I was using audio from Stormfront, but at least three. So we do have to be careful. And I know myself, I have over 1,000 RBN shows. I've got at least 1,000 Stormfront shows. Mm-hmm. And probably 2,000 shows with David Duke. If they wanted to go after me, you know, if you're talking about thousands of hours of material, they're going to find something if they look hard enough. I mean, I try. They'll have to look hard because, I mean, I do try, but I make a lot of jokes. And, you know, even talking about Jesse, did Jesse Jackson see Kyle? I mean,
right. And our content, especially your content, has been so solid. Your content is so solid that you would probably convert a lot of them when they did have to listen to all that.
If they did, I know, that's the thing. That's the one thing that if ever I was confronted like that, I'd say, okay, just pick out any one random show, listen to the whole thing, and tell me what you think.
Indeed.
Well, yeah, I just cross my fingers and hope it wouldn't be the Goyim's Choice Awards.
Unfortunately, you bleeped out the episode where you exposed the foul language and racist language of rap singers. All right.
Oh yeah, yeah, that one. Oh well, but no, well, but the thing is, but you look and I spent today, and I'm reading private text messages between Richard Spencer and Eli Mosley or whatever the guy's name is, and they're saying things that they didn't. You know, they're bad mouthing Jason Kessler. And did they think Jason Kessler would be seeing it in court? No. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but I mean, it was the type of thing that you don't expect people to hear. And then, of course, you know, Richard Spencer, he has in his speeches, because his speeches were always meant to be inflammatory. And, you know, so they're going up and saying, well, Did you ever say that you wanted to rule over blacks and Jews? And he says, no, I never said that. And then they play a tape for him where he's saying, people like me rule over these people. And, oh, yeah, well, I guess I did. That was not me at my best. And, you know, they keep asking him things. And you know, we all have, even callers into shows. I mean, we're all, as Don Black says, nothing ever dies on the internet. So, you know, what you say is going to be preserved forever, but it's not just the internet anymore. So your text messages, I mean, these were all publicized now, and everybody can see what they were texting each other. And talk about Orwellian, right? What privacy do we have? I think my Aunt Helen was right about being spied on through the electric sockets.
She was just off by a few seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you know, perception is everything, and it's pivoting, hard pivot into international news, the perception of Belarus. And I've heard some kind of poor takes, well, really bad takes by conservatives who are great people and well-meaning. One of the takes I heard was that Belarus is siding with the Muslims and using them, weaponizing Muslims to go after our, ally, Poland. And so, really, and you've laid this out very well, what's went on is, you know, Belarus has harsh sanctions put on it. And, you know, Lukashenko in all of his baseness, and he's not about to take these refugees in, so he's going to throw them to Poland. And I got this article here from CNN. Violence erupts on the Poland-Belarus border as Polish guards fire water cannon migrants who are throwing rocks. And I wanted to say that they're getting... Poland's giving these migrants the Palestinian treatment, but that's not the Palestinian treatment. The Palestinian treatment would be if they shot the migrants in the testicles and, you know, like chained them up, put them in prison and tortured them. That would be the Palestinian treatment. But still, I mean, this is kind of making Poland look bad, quite honestly, if you read it that way. But what is your take on this whole refugees Poland situation? You have any hot takes for us? Any red hot? Should we put on our oven mitts to catch these things?
I do. So the fundamental problem is that the governments, the establishments, the Zio establishments in Germany and England and France and Sweden and, yeah, I guess Belgium and Holland, these wealthy countries that they have just allowed themselves to be captured by Jewish power, and they are enticing Muslims and Africans to migrate to them. They're enticing them. And of course, these countries don't have borders with Africa or the Muslim world. They don't have borders themselves. So, but they are the magnet. They are the draw. Nobody wants to migrate to Belarus or Poland or Lithuania or Greece. That's not where they want to go. They want to go to those countries, the Western countries that I mentioned. And the Western countries you know, have been giving them stuff. And the Western countries have been insisting that, you know, well, Europe has to take everybody, but we should spread them out a bit more. But anyway, that is the magnet that's drawing them there. And what you see, this is just like, you know, if you've got rain coming in through, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a metaphor, but you can plug up one hole, but as long as that pressure is there, that pressure or that pull is there, they come through somewhere else. So, you know, you had a period of time, I guess, in 2015 where they were going through Turkey and they were going into through Greece and the old Yugoslavia, and there, you know, you saw these images, and then when Turkey clamped down on it, after having received a lot of money from Europe to clamp down on it, then they were going through the Mediterranean, and you saw them going across from Libya or Tunisia to Sicily, to southern Italy, and you were seeing that for a while. And as soon as that gets squeezed a little bit, then they're going across the Straits of Gibraltar, and they're going into Spain. And there was a time where they were going all the way up to the Arctic Ocean and crossing from Russia to Norway. And the thing is, you can't get mad at Italy and Greece and Turkey or Belarus or Poland, because they're not the countries that are motivating these Muslims, right? They are just in the way. And, you know, to the extent that things get, like, when the immigration gets to be too great and it's causing, like, social pushback, well, then they, you know, the people who are really behind this, the Jewish powers in the Western European countries, the wealthy countries, they need to turn it down a bit. Well, then they bribe Erdogan to turn it down some, or, you know, they try to bribe other countries to turn it down some. Well, right now the path is going through Belarus, and these people would not be going through Belarus if it wasn't that they were being welcomed into Italy, into England and France and Sweden and Germany. And you've got this quote back in July from Lukashenko, and he's saying, "We will not hold anyone back. We are not their final destination after all. They are headed to enlightened, warm, cozy Europe." So the thing is, the problem isn't Belarus. The problem is these Western countries that are enticing Muslims to trample across these Eastern and Southern European countries in order to get to them. And then the Eastern and Southern European countries have to deal with it. And, you know, Greece has had problems, and Spain's had problems, Italy's had problems. Now Belarus and Poland are having problems, but they're not the cause of this. But it is being exploited. It's being exploited by, you know, the anti-Lukashenko people who are trying to regime change him anyway because of COVID, because of other things. They were trying to regime change him anyway. And so the way they're dealing with Lukashenko is very different from the way they were dealing with Erdogan or you know, other people, other countries that have been involved. So that's my red hot take.
Red hot it was, man. It burned even through these oven mitts that I had on. It was white hot. And, you know, to the extent that Belarus is weaponizing anything, they're weaponizing the narrative. A couple of paragraphs down in this article, it said that Igor Malik, deputy head of the Belarusian Armed Forces Department of Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection and Ecology, Igor Malik was telling reporters that Polish security forces had used toxic chemicals against refugees. He said, "Today we witnessed how the Polish security forces on the Belarusian-Polish border used special means containing toxic irritating chemicals against refugees, including women and children." That's according to Malik. So they're sort of weaponizing the narrative. Well, you know, look at Poland not accepting these wonderful refugees that are supposed to be so enriching.
Yeah. So the thing is, Belarus has been under these sanctions because, because it's not going along with global homo, because it's not going along with the corona apocalypse. Lukashenko told people
you know, he's not pushing the vaccine. He's not pushing lockdowns. He's saying, just drive tractors and play ice hockey. It's good for your immune system. He's not going along with this. And so he's been under all these sanctions, whereas the EU gave Turkey $3 billion to turn off the spigot for a while. Mm. And you know, I don't know. That Belarus has nothing to do with the deadly, brutal civil war in Syria. It doesn't have anything to do with this. But these people they go to Europe one way or another, and they'll just go whatever is the path of least resistance. And all Belarus is doing, because they're going, they'll find the path of least resistance, and they've been going there in this steady, steady flood for about 6 years now. And Belarus, to the extent they're weaponizing anything, they're just allowing themselves to be the path of least resistance for now. But it's not as if you're getting an increase in overall immigration to Europe.
No. And we are live. I probably should take a few calls. We only have time for maybe one or two if anybody wants to call and weigh in on these things, on the trials from immigrants at the Polish border. Your point is well taken. The treatment that they're giving Belarus, so I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all for what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, but, you can look at it. They're letting Muslims go into our beautiful Europe, but they're not the ones who are responsible for this. It is the Zio leadership of these Western countries, and no matter what Belarus does, people are going to continue flooding into Europe. Whether Belarus allows itself to be the path of least resistance, or if they were to clamp down, then they're just going to go in through a different border.
Yeah, you got Poland's defense ministry accusing Belarusian military of equipping these migrants with stun grenades. So, you know, that's not proven. I seriously doubt that. I doubt that they're literally weaponizing these migrants. It is unfortunate that Poland has to be caught in the middle of this, because you pointed out they're not really to blame here. But I guess when you're being attacked on all sides, you punch the one that's closest to you. And Poland just happens to be there on the border.
Yep. So, do we have a caller, or are we just going to keep going?
I think we can keep going. I don't see anybody calling in. And
okay, well, so Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and maybe Slovakia, they have been inside the EU. They've been the most hardcore against immigration in general, and so. It's not as if I'd like to see, but the thing is, these migrants, they're not headed for Poland anyway. They would just be trampling across Poland, just like they've been trampling across Belarus or Ukraine or Russia or, you know, all these other places. They're just trampling across. And Poland is being, you could say Poland is being weaponized by the EU. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the EU is wanting to limit immigration and they know that Poland will fight back, Poland's a great scapegoat, right?
Mm-hmm. If they want to fight immigration, then they can just deport people who commit crimes. There's a lot of things they can do. They don't have to give all these people welfare. But, you know, you got Sweden, and somebody shows up with a full beard, but they say they're 16 years old, and Sweden, it even prohibits dentists from looking in their mouth and saying, oh, wait a minute, this guy's got all his wisdom teeth, there's no way he's 16. You know, a dentist actually did that, reported one of these child migrants, said this guy's, you know, there's no way he's 16, he's got all his wisdom teeth and a full beard, and they're saying that, then they call him racist and they shut him down. So, I mean, if they're going to be all clown world, there's no way you can... Why do we take the EU seriously in complaining about migration across that particular border when they've been
they've been encouraging migration across every other border that they have. Doesn't it seem pretty fake and gay?
Exactly. Back on the other side.
I'm bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It is useless to resist us.
Okay, coming back to the last segment of the show. And no callers, so I guess our takes are so red hot that they can't hold the phone up to their ears, maybe. But that's a good thing. Sometimes we need to get through content, as much as I do appreciate our great audience and callers. So summing up, covered the three trials, the Belarusian migrant incident at Poland border, and coming up on the Patrick and Jeremy show tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central Time on Republic Broadcasting. I was going to cover, you know, Virginia is burning books. Not really, but they're getting rid of all of the trash in their children's libraries, giving the audience a little peek. This whole thing in Virginia has really been a big pushback.
Yeah, well, Virginia is for lovers. And not just gay lovers.
Obviously. It's a school board in Spotsylvania County, but it's 6-0 to order public school libraries to remove and catalog all sexually explicit books from their libraries after a parent at one high school complained about LGBTQIA fiction. That was displayed in the school.
LGBTQFAG. I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, well, it's LGBTQP, B, pedophilia and bestiality. That's what's up next.
Not in front of my dog.
Tell Mr. T to cover his ears.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, no, it's, I mean, our uncle would be proud, you know. Uncle Adolf getting rid of all the trash books. Hopefully they're burning them. The news article hints to that. I think it's a little hyperbole there. I doubt they're really burning the books because some of them are digital. But no, it's good to see pushback at the state level. And I guess I'll go ahead and bring this point up. And when we'll get to it more maybe on your show. But, you know, the pushback. So states, I've even heard, and I'll look this up while we're on break, is the states are crafting legislation to remove OSHA even in response to Biden's mandate. It shows you that our government is designed very well to prevent tyranny. You know, I mean, we do have the Fifth, I think it's the Fifth Circuit Court blocking Biden's vax mandates. So, I mean, the system works. But what I've noticed is that capitalism beats the system. It gets around it. You know, for example, like when North Carolina had to rescind its bathroom law in the face of huge corporate boycott, right? You know, that they caved because of capitalism gone awry, gone out of control. And, you know, you're going to see that now with the, even if the court does uphold this vax mandate block, I mean, corporations are going to do whatever they're going to do. They can not hire you because you're not vaccinated. They can fire you if you don't get vaccinated. Court system can't do anything about it. All they can do is stop Biden from making the mandate. If they can even do that, he's ignoring that.
Mm.
But, you know, isn't that, that's the weakness of America and has been for a while, is the corporations. They're so powerful and they can just do whatever they want.
This was Ralph Nader's whole political career, was trying to rein in corporate power. He wasn't trying to establish like socialism or anything. He thought that, you know, like markets and everything can work, but if you don't have serious regulation, you're going to have runaway corporate power. Now, of course, you can also have runaway regulation. Like, so there's a balance that you need to have. But I think a lot of people become very blinded by ideology and, you know, whether it's a socialist ideology or a libertarian ideology.
Indeed. Well, we will be back tomorrow, Patrick Jeremy, part two on National Bugle. Thanks a lot, folks. Thanks, Patrick.
We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.